Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Hope you had a great weekend. More Yankee goodness, more Met complaining this morning. And LeBron James goes down in embarrassing fashion in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals to the Boston Celtics. But a ton of baseball this morning. The Yankees look like they're going to have a really tough weekend after Friday in the way that Saturday's game started. But they're the Yankees, and they made it right. And the Mets, of course, you think on Friday are going to have a nice weekend, then get rained out, get all the momentum sucked out of them, and then just a bizarrely weird performance yesterday by them, all starting with Jacob deGrom in his marathon first inning, or it was his whole outing. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay, Gio, but I'm not happy about where the Mets are. I don't really want to start with the negative right now because the Mets are dropping like a hot rock. And their starter comes back and he throws 45 pitches in the first inning. They decide to take him out, which is smart. That's what they should have done. And now they're going to skip Vargas's next start.
Thank God.
I mean, it's one thing after the next with this team. And they are now four games out of first place, and they are dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. Thinking about a month ago where we were and where the Nats were, and now all of a sudden the Nats have completely turned it around. And it's going to be interesting to watch the Nationals at home for two games against the Yankees starting tomorrow night. And tomorrow night they got, you know, Gio Gonzalez. That means, you know, Giancarlo Stanton's going to go off because he's a left-handed pitcher, and Giancarlo Stanton just murders left-handed pitchers.
And what a game from him yesterday,
just absolutely, man. Absolutely murders left-handed pitchers. This is, you know, when I go back to Joe Girardi about a week ago on MLB Network saying, oh, he's going to come out of it. He's going to come out of it. Why? Because they're facing a left-handed pitcher. For whatever reason, he is just raking those guys, and yesterday was his game on Mother's Day and everything else, so good for him and good for the Yankees. And now they go on the road for two games against the Nationals. It'll be interesting because they got Gonzalez, like I said, and then it's Scherzer, and Scherzer's a very tough right-hander, as we all know. He's having a great season coming off of his last outing was awesome, so this will tell us a lot about the New York Yankees and where they are. I would expect that, you know, you'd be happy with a split down there, but I would also expect that if you're a Yankee fan right now, you want greed. You're greedy.
Oh, yeah, you definitely are.
You want to sweep everybody. You want to just take care of business. And it's unfortunate because they would have swept the A's had Sonny Gray actually had anything. And Sonny Gray had nothing. So he had two good starts and a bad start. And I was listening to Sunday Mornings with John yesterday.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
It was good. I think that they've really actually improved the program.
So they fixed that delay problem?
Whatever the delay was, or John's paying more attention or whatever. And, you know, I think Yankee fans are a little bit annoyed with Sonny Gray. They keep talking about Sonny Gray. And what do they keep talking about? Since we started the season, we've been talking about this. They're going to have to add a starting pitcher at some point. I don't know if Domingo Germán is the answer. We have to wait and see what happens when Montgomery comes back. But it seems like Sonny Gray is going to be two good outings, a bad outing. You know, maybe another couple good outings, and then would you really truly trust him in a big spot late in September?
Oh, not October? Right now. Not right now. And I share something in common with the Yankee fan. I could have 10 things going right and then one thing go wrong, and I'll sit there and focus on that. And that's exactly what they're doing. But Sonny Gray's been that bad. And I think the tease of two back-to-back good starts, thinking, all right, he did break out of it, and now he's going to be okay. And then to see that performance on Friday night is even more frustrating. So, sure, they've got a reason to be upset about it, because this isn't like, you know, Chasen Shreve in the bullpen or Ronald Torres, who you see occasionally. This is a guy that needs to be good for the Yankees, because right now he's scheduled to make big starts for them late in the season, and then in the postseason, and he's not good enough to do so. He's not good enough to trust right now. So I guess you'll look at the three starts and say, all right, if you want to look at that, it's a two out of the last three have been good. But if you have another bad one coming up, then at that point you just got to say, you know, I don't know. You're going to have to start thinking about other things to do with him because most of his 2018 has been bad.
Well, I would say two out of the last three have been good. So anytime he has a bad outing, everybody's going to focus on it. And I felt like that was kind of sort of the focus of where most Yankee fans who were calling this radio station over the weekend, that's where they were all looking at. They weren't looking at Didi Gregorius and his prolonged slump right now. They weren't looking at Giancarlo Stanton struggling against right-handers. They were all focused in and zeroed in on Sonny Gray. And then obviously without a couple guys in a bullpen that you normally would see right now, Warren and Canely, you know this is where the Yankee fan finds problems. But let me just say something to the Yankee fan. You don't know problems. You have no idea what problems are.
Yeah.
We as Met fans now understand what problems are. We're bringing in our closer, you know, when we're down and run in the eighth inning. That's problems. That's not great managing. We take our starting number one stud pitcher out of a game after 46 or 45 pitches. Why? Because, you know, he hurt his elbow swinging a bat 10 days ago or 12 days ago. We have a lineup that is basically Punch and Judy hitters all over the place, maybe with the exception of Cespedes. But guys like Lagares and Conforto and Rosario and even the new catcher, you know, he had one home run on Friday night. Great. That's or Saturday night. It's great. But now all of a sudden is you know, batting 187.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, it's just, I'm watching this whole thing just like, just kind of like fall apart. Like there's no energy. And even after they won and they beat Arrieta and everything else, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, we got the winning feeling back. Everything's going to be great. And they just morph right back into doing what they normally do. And it's really, it's frustrating. It's sad. And it's almost like debilitating watching them.
Oh, yeah, and I really think that after Friday night and the fact that it was Conforto, and then you got a home run back-to-back pitches, consecutive pitches, then with Mesoraco, I'm thinking, all right, this is a good thing. This is a catalyst. And I don't know if they would have won on Saturday or not. I have no idea. And Syndergaard, of course, now isn't going to pitch until Tuesday because they got him warmed up and there was a rainout. But I thought the fact that they didn't play on Saturday took sort of the momentum that they could have built off of that Friday night comeback victory right out of them. Now, as far as the problems that you mentioned, I don't care if Jerry's Familia came in yesterday because they've got an off day today, they got an off day Thursday, hadn't pitched, fine, you get him some work, that's not a big deal to me. I also am not going to scream and yell as much about the Sewald Blevins blunder that everybody's calling it because, you know, quite frankly, I mean, you don't have Aroldis Chapman from the left-handed side coming out of that bullpen. It's Jerry Blevins. Now, Blevins, against Nick Williams, he faced him three times, struck him out twice. Nick Williams is 0-for-3 against him.
The analytics are on his side.
Yeah, but also this year, Sewald is better against lefties than Blevins has been. All right, so it's really, you know, I don't want to go nuts about that. I'll go nuts about the fact that they have first and second, nobody out, seemingly every inning. They're 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position.
Mesoraco hitting two double plays.
I mean, God. And then also,
killers.
And how about the fact, too, this is another one in that sixth inning, the Cespedes home run. Then you get first and second, nobody out. Conforto's up. Conforto's got a 2-0 count. He ends up striking out looking in that at bat. I mean, it's stuff like that, and the rest of then you had the Mesoraco double play after that.
They are now four games out of first place. Four games. Think about what has happened here the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. It's been.
And then
pathetic.
I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that, you know, Matt Harvey did great things on Friday.
No,
he pitched four innings. I know that they, you know, they got to stretch him out now, re-stretch him out again, and all that other stuff. It was four scoreless innings. I think he had six walks in those four innings.
Well, also, too, he really didn't necessarily give up a hit because that one hit was a miscommunication. They, like, lost the ball and then it dropped. But if you watched him, he looked exactly the same. Just that the Dodgers were missing it this time. I'm telling you, he looked exactly the same. That stuff that Mickey Callaway was talking about laying the ball in the catcher's mitt and leaving the balls all over the plate. I mean, that to me was another hard. He just got lucky. This time. So we'll see. But forget about him.
All right, let me ask you this question. I can't forget about him for one reason. You know, I don't know what he's going to do with the Reds. It's like the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
But they're playing better than the Mets right now because they beat the Dodgers, I think, 2 out of 3 this week, if I'm correct. If he continues to, you know, do well and he kind of rehabs himself, who knows? Maybe, you know, come July – He's a trade chip for the Reds.
Well, now what? When you going back to him going to the Yankees?
I can't say it, but I was just thinking.
No.
He's a big game pitcher.
I suppose it's a possibility, but he's, as you mentioned, he's got to get totally right with zero distractions. And even then, I think that the Yankees are going to aim a little bit higher than that to be able to bolster that rotation.
So now you see that Clint Frazier's ready to come back.
Right, and Brandon Drury, who's going to be eligible, too.
Dude, they're all coming back.
And
now.
Greg Bird's not that far behind.
You literally have three position players that are going to be ready to come back here. Frazier's ready to come back right now, although they're saying that he still needs another week or so, but he's tearing the cover off the baseball. And there's nowhere to put any of these guys.
Yeah.
There's nowhere. So that leads you to believe that if there are trade chips, the question is, who would want somebody of this Yankee extended roster, and what pitcher can they bring back for one of their young players?
Yeah, well, that I think that'll become more clear as the season goes on. It's interesting, a couple of candidates to either move on from or sit on the bench or think about not being a part of this team, and Gardner and Walker, older guys, both of them break out of it right when these guys are starting to get back. So now you have to look at everybody who's got options. I think Drury's got to stay down for now. I mean, I think that's what's going to have to happen is he's going to have to come back and then end up staying down in the minors, because you cannot bring Drury up and send Andujar down. I don't think that's a possibility at all. And with Clint Frazier, you got Aaron Hicks, you got Brett Gardner out there. I mean, Gardner's been very good. It's depth. It's an embarrassment of riches. But I think guys with options are going to have to be frustrated right now and sit down there and wait for that opportunity to arise, because right now it's not happening for them. So,
all right. And one other thing, you want to know why Danny Ainge is the smartest man in basketball?
Because he doesn't he's great at drafting, and he doesn't trade guys before he watches them develop.
Or whatever. I mean, which is what you would want with Frank Ntilikina, but you got to leave French Frank alone. So the reason being is because he knows what division he plays in. He also obviously knows what conference he plays in. He also knows who he has to get through in order to go get the championship. Now, he's lost two of his best players in Hayward and Irving. There's no question about that. But he also has had some great trades. He's made some great free agent signings, and he's also made some great draft picks. And when you listen to the Celtics kids talk, and you listen to how they listen to their coach and everything else, it's like the total opposite of what an NBA team would normally be, or what you would think an NBA team would be. They go out and they get this kid, Marcus Morris, right? Marcus Morris is 6'9",
mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why they got a 6'9" Marcus Morris. And why is that? To go against a 6'10" LeBron James when you have to. When you need a bigger player, a player that has longer arms, a player that is going to be relentless on the defensive end of the court, that's exactly the type of player you go and get.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's like I don't know what everybody else is thinking, but I do know by watching the Celtics yesterday what exactly Danny Ainge was thinking about.
Sure, but and also looking at these highlights on CBS Sports Network, did you notice that Jason Tatum was on LeBron James?
Yes.
Marcus Smart steals a ball from LeBron James.
Do you know why that was?
Aaron Baines is in his face. Marcus Morris is in his face. Al Horford's in his face. Brad Stevens was throwing everybody at LeBron.
Well, it's kind of funny you say that, because right before the series started, I think it was on Friday, they were talking to him about, playing the Cavaliers and what LeBron James is doing and everything. And he just matter-of-factly said, look, you don't play defense with against LeBron James with one player. You play defense against LeBron James with multiple players. And he kind of told you what his game plan was going to be.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they executed yesterday. Now, the shooting for the Cavaliers was horrendous. We know that. And they're not going to shoot this bad the rest of the way. I mean, they just had a really, really off day. And there was a lot of energy in that building yesterday with the Celtics. And the Celtics really, lived up to it. There were a couple wide open shots that they missed. That will not take place in Cleveland. But I'll tell you what, it is impressive watching what Boston, even if they don't win this series, which you would like to think that they will, You have to be impressed with the way that this whole thing has gone down with the Celtics.
And the fact that Danny Ainge was able to identify both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum as guys that were untouchable. Both of those guys. He needed to get Jason Tatum in the draft, and he was able to convince the 76ers that he might take Markelle Fultz and was able to make that deal. And they still take Tatum, and he said, we're taking Tatum the entire time. And also, Jaylen Brown, you know, his rookie season early on in his career showed flashes, but was not this player. That's for sure, but people knew he had a lot of talent. So when there was those trade, you know, whether it was the Kyrie trade or Paul George or stuff that was out there, people would ask about Jaylen Brown, and he'd say, no, totally untouchable. And now you're seeing it.
I don't know how far they'll go. I don't know if they'll – I do believe that they'll get through this. I think that they have, you know, kind of like a matchup nightmare in the way that they collectively play defense. You know, these games, I think it's going to go I think it will go the seven, and game seven will be in Boston, and it will be like a nut house, right?
Oh, sure.
But I don't know if they'll be able to beat either Golden State or Houston. I don't know that, but and that starts tonight, by the way. And to me, those two teams are just so like fluid offensively and so spread out on the floor, and just anybody can shoot at a given time. I don't know necessarily that Boston has that.
No. I mean, whoever wins between Golden State and Houston is going to win the NBA title. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about this morning. Yankees, Mets, we got some basketball to talk about. A little hockey last night as the Capitals go up 2-0 on the former New York Ranger, Tampa Bay Lightning.
They're the Fighting Dave Michigans.
Right, the Fighting Dave Michigans not doing too well these days. And, of course, a little football to round out a Monday morning here on The Fan, coming to you live from the Investors Bank Studio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.